Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Chasing Clarity Health and Fitness Podcast. I am your host, Jeffrey Black, joined by my co-host, the ever-beautiful Brendan DeCruz. Episode 109, Are You Ready to Diet? Ooh, it's hot girl and hot boy season. It's got those beaches and boats. So how do you know if you're in the right place physically and mentally to enter a fat loss phase? That's what we're going to go over today. First off, ladies and gentlemen, we spend a lot of time putting this together. You're going to see more of an active push on this for social media. So with that being said, please share our podcast. Please let us know what topics you'd like us to talk more about, because there's a lot of ones we could talk about. And secondly, if you are a coach, I am hosting a seminar, as you always know. It will benefit Dr. Martis. He does orthopedic research with the Children's Pediatrics here in Nashville, Tennessee. They work specifically on research with my bone disease. Actually, Keegan's having a surgery in July, and he is at the helm. And we are helping fund a lot of his research. OI doesn't get federal research. So that being said, coaches, I'm looking for 2 to 3 people to present on Friday. It is going to be a charity seminar. We are hosting it off-site. If you attend, you get a free 4 days at Iron House. Since a lot of people don't know that, I include that for you. But we're going to make it a little bit bigger, a little bit better, and a little bit badder. And we're only doing 2 business topics this year. So it's going to be very, very coach-driven. Robo picked the one that he wanted to accompany him. So he's a good bro of mine, and he does the seminars with me here in Nashville and helps me locally. So with that being said, message me on IG if you're interested. Let me know some topics. Kind of, you know, hit me with it. You got to be able to present for 40 to 50 minutes. Okay. It's with a PowerPoint. And secondly, you have to be able to answer questions. This means anything can be thrown your way in a Q&A. Often people who present Friday will get back up there Saturday sometimes or be asked questions. With that being said, message me on IG, message Brandon, let one of us know. We're going to do some interviews to kind of get some people. We want to share this. This is something that Scoob and I started. We believe in it. And we want to keep this going. So with that being said, let's get into how it's been lately. Brandon, I'll give you a little update on my end. I'm almost sold out of my first 500 books. So ordered another. If you're looking to buy them, go to brittle2unbreakable.com. I've actually got some really cool feedback from some of my random gym members who bought it. Some guy, Adam's wife, read it, and she's an avid reader and just thought it was fabulous. So I'm going to sell it to you, but it's really worth it. If you'd like to support me, and if not, that's cool too. I'm sure there'll be a free copy out there to steal on the internet sooner or later. Other than that, I got into, Brandon doesn't know this, but this little hobby I've been at, it's, I got back into fishing a little bit, but, I know the Southern boy in me comes out, but, pistol shooting for time. And I'm going to start practicing to get ready to do time competitions with shooting. My dad actually did it. Odd, weird thing. And I've gotten into shooting a lot lately, and went for a guy's day this past Friday, burned through 150 rounds, got some significant one-on-one time, got very familiar with the weapon, and ended up pulling off 15 shots in 5.15 seconds with slightly under 80% accuracy. So not bad.
My guy's dangerous. Let's go.
For just whipping it. And, you know, the targets were 3. It was Moab B, and it was like you had 2 to the chest, 1 to the head, close within 6 feet, and then another one 12 feet away, and then another one in the center, then another one 12 feet away, and another one at 6 feet away. So you had to pop off 15 shots. So it was so cool, man. I was like, oh, I really enjoy this. I feel very secure with a gun and handling it. I know that freaks a lot of people out, but I don't know. It's just something I've been into. And other than that, same old, same old. Coach of business. I'm taking clients. I'm enjoying. I'm doing more in person just because I like being in my gym. Got a new crop of trainers. I went to just a rent only model that I had before, and I love it. And that's my team. It's just a team of contracted trainers, and we all work together, and it's kind of cool. And it's been about what's up in my world, man. What's been going on in your world, B?
Yeah, so it's been a great last 7 days on my end. It is the start of a new month once this will come out, because we're recording. We're actually getting ahead of things in terms of our recording schedule, which I'm really happy about, because then we'll always have essentially, let me give a little pun or analogy, we'll have one in the chamber at all times, just in case things come up, you know, especially with with you and I, like our schedules, we're on different time zones, our schedules are pretty hectic, but we still want to be able to put out quality, consistent content for the audience. So it is the start of a new month by the time that this comes out. And so I will be opening back up my roster to take on some new clients. I've also just started my last mesocycle of this building phase. And what the plan is essentially, once I get to the end of this mesocycle, I'm going to transition into a photo shoot prep, which I'll be in for the majority of the summer. I'm looking to do some shoots towards the end of August with, I have a couple photographers that are flying out here, and then also some in the region of the Northeast. So that's New York. Some in like Connecticut, so a little bit outside of the Northeast, but as well as, you know, New York, Philadelphia, and New Jersey. So I already have some plans, and it's on tentative dates, but it's looking like the last 2 to 3 weeks of August will be photo shoot time for me. And then, you know, I'm going to stay in shape because you and I have a trip coming up the beginning of September. So I'm looking forward to that guy's trip where I'll be joining yourself and Scooby, who was on the show last week, and some of your guy friends. So I'm looking forward to that. But besides that, man, all is well with me, and I'm really looking forward to having us back to our normal weekly podcast. This is you and I. This is the first podcast that we've recorded, where we're going to do it in succession, for like 5 or 6 months, man. So it's been a long time since we've been both into the studio, essentially, recording on a consistent
I
basis. I'm really
know.
looking forward to this. So you've had more than enough of a break, so it's time to get these things started again, and to really get a great series. I've had a lot of questions regarding, and this is going to parlay into today's topic, but I've gotten a lot of questions about fat loss, and you know that's the most popular topic. So we're going to be doing soon. We will be doing a fat loss series, but this is kind of like our primer for that fat loss series, because the first thing you need to differentiate or determine is, are you even ready to go into fat loss? So that's what we're going to be covering today, and I'm looking forward to it.
You know, I got to be honest with you. After you just made that pun, the first thing I could think of is because, you know, Joe Jeffrey's coming here with Physique Collective, which, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a coach, this is going to be more to coaches, not gym pop people. But that seminar he's going to do here is going to be great. Maybe I need to arrange a day at the range with all of us and do that. I would love that. I think that'd be a good time with all y'all. So anyway, now that you said that, but let's get into this because I could digress and go down a whole rabbit hole shit. All right. So today we're going to talk about, are you really ready to diet? With it being summertime, this is usually the time that most clients are turning themselves on to the idea of getting leaner for summer and getting ready for bows and hose season, as we like to say, or like my single days. But how do you know you're physically and mentally ready to enter a fat loss phase? This is something that there's a lot of top talks out there. There's a lot of opinions and a lot of commentary. And B and I thought, why not talk about it and kind of give our thoughts and our commentary on it? So with that being said, how do you really know if you're ready for a fat loss phase, Brandon? Because I think we could kind of break this down from the psychological to the emotional to hell, what's even going on in your life? But let's start in somewhere and start digging this thing out.
Absolutely. So I wanted to cover the topic of how to know if you're physically and mentally ready for a fat loss phase, as the vast majority of new clients who come to me, and I know the same thing could be said for yourself, they come to us with the goal of losing a significant amount of body fat and attaining a lean muscular physique. That's usually just like the commonality between so many people that contact me for coaching and so many individuals that I meet, whether it be in the fitness space and the general population. That's generally what people want. They want to be more muscular, but they also want to be leaner. So they want to lose some body fat, but they also want to build some muscle. And so fat loss is the topic I get the most amount of questions about from listeners of this podcast. So we're going to be doing a fat loss fundamental series, which I alluded to a little bit ago. But first, I wanted to lay the foundation of how I determine if a client is even ready to go into a fat loss phase and if their body will respond to it favorably, so we can get in, drop some body fat, and get out. And so fat loss phases are a phase I eventually take almost every single client that I work with through, as the vast majority of individuals I work with are very body composition and health focused. And one of the most effective ways to improve your overall body composition and your health is through a fat loss phase, where essentially what I do with clients is I really am trying to help them achieve what's referred to as quality weight loss, which means that we're losing exclusively fat mass and we're retaining muscle mass. And this allows clients to achieve a leaner body composition that's more aligned with the physique they've always desired. But due to the massive emphasis I try to place, and this is something we've actually discussed before, but I really try to place a massive emphasis on lean mass retention, so the retention of muscle mass during a diet. And the reason I have such an emphasis, or I have such a preference towards that, is we want to be able to avoid the significant muscle loss that many have experienced in past dieting phases that they've done on their own, which have left them looking like a skinnier, smaller, scrawnier version of themselves rather than a leaner, stronger, better version of themselves. And so, I also have to say that I'm the type of coach who's very focused on my client's long-term progression. So I don't just want to help a client lose a bunch of fat in the here and now, but really I pride myself on being able to help them keep it off even once that fat loss phase is over. And this is one of the number one reasons why I'm so heavily focused on muscle retention, as muscle is metabolically active tissue. So retaining muscle during a diet is the most effective strategy for maintaining your metabolic rate and keeping your basal energy expenditure, your baseline energy expenditure up. And it also helps with appetite regulation and fat loss maintenance long term. So it's not just about what we can accomplish in the next 12 weeks, but what can we do in the next 12 months? Now, the main issues with the dieting industry today is that many are focused on losing weight as quickly as possible. And we've seen this in all aspects, whether it's the fad diets that we see or the 30-day shred programs, or even if you go to your local grocery store or your department store, you'll see all these tablets and what they're promoting is 30 day or 30 pounds in 30 days. And so what ends up happening is this leads to so many people being focused on losing weight as quickly as possible. And this ends up that they rush into a diet, and many of the weight loss approaches that are promoted, used, and taken by many of you who want to get leaner do not prioritize the maintenance of muscle, as weight loss occurs much quicker if you're losing both fat and muscle at the same time. Whereas quality weight loss is a much slower process, as we're focused exclusively on losing body fat while maintaining your muscle tissue. However, the downside to traditional weight loss approaches that many use is that due to the fact that many go about losing weight in a suboptimal approach, they end up losing a ton of muscle in the process, which we have to think about the negative downstream cascades that happen when you lose muscle. So first of all, if we just think cosmetically, losing muscle negatively impacts how your body composition and your physique looks. It also will impact your energy expenditure load. So when you lose muscle tissue, it significantly lowers your metabolic rate and the total amount of calories you burn per day, which causes you to have to cut calories even lower to continue losing weight and body fat, because now your baseline levels of energy expenditure are downregulated. So now you have to try even harder just to maintain a deficit and to continue losing body fat. And then also another often overlooked component of muscle loss during a diet is it causes what's referred to as hyperphagia, which is an extreme degree of hunger, which feels, it's really what you would describe it as. It feels almost insatiable, like you can never get enough food.
Yeah,
And really,
terrible.
that leads to the body fat overshooting effects, where you rapidly regain all the weight you lost shortly after your fat loss phase ends. So over time, with every subsequent diet you jump into, you lose more muscle and you gain more fat back after. So instead of undergoing body recomposition, which is most people's goal, so body recomposition is a process of adding muscle and losing body fat. A lot of times when you are that person that goes on cyclical diets where you aggressively diet, what you undergo is a term that I like to refer to as body decomposition or regression, essentially. So that's where you end up gaining more fat mass and losing more muscle mass as each year and as each decade passes. And so each year, if we look statistically, between 42 to 61% of adults in general populations around the world report going on a diet to lose weight, and many end up due losing weight during the diet itself. However, we see within literature looking at the weight maintenance statistics that between 80 to 95% of dieters who lose weight will regain what they lost back after the diet ends. And between one-third to two-thirds of those individuals will gain back even more weight than they lost. So they end up heavier and carrying more body fat over the long term. So it's not just about what did you do in these last 12 weeks when you were dieting, but what happens to you a year down the road, 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road. And then if we add to that the fact that the average person gains 1.1 to 2.2 pounds per year, every year across adulthood, and we're left in this situation where many are trying to lose weight, but the vast majority of individuals are not keeping that weight off. And in actuality, they're gaining weight over time. And so one of my main focuses as a coach and as a fitness professional is to help those I work with be in that rare 5 to 20% of dieters who lose fat and actually keep it off long term, so that they can look better, they can feel better, and they can function better. And I have a very good track record at accomplishing this. However, it's not like I didn't just stumble upon this. It's not luck. I'm also very strategic about how and when I have clients enter a fat loss phase, which is one of the main factors that increases their likelihood to succeed not only in the fat loss phase itself, but also long term in terms of actually maintaining that fat loss. So on today's podcast and on today's show, I want to cover the physical and mental factors that need to be considered prior to entering the fat loss phase to determine if you're truly ready, if you're truly in the right place to effectively lose fat and be successful in keeping it off.
All right, my man. So I think you did a really good, brought some really great points there, and that will tie in greatly to the end. The last point that we're going to chat about is like how to determine anyone's ready for this. But first, so you said physical and physiological factors that need to be considered to kind of understand if you could even effectively do what you're trying to do in burning up body fat. Let's break those down for everybody so people could walk away with some hard points that they know going forward.
Absolutely. So there are many, both physical and physiological factors that need to be considered to determine if you're even in the right place to go into a fat loss phase. So we first need to analyze and look and consider these first and foremost. So today, and I'll be honest with you guys know that I'm quite nuanced, Jeff. You know that I'm very verbose in terms of I'll go down all these rabbit holes. But really today, my goal is to really focus on my top five physiological factors that I look at and I consider when determining if a client who has the goal of fat loss is even ready to enter that fat loss phase, and if their body is in a place where it'll be responsive to a deficit and will lose fat effectively. So these five factors are going to be your dieting history, which includes when your last dieting phase ended, and if you're still dealing with metabolic adaptation. The second is going to be your hunger and appetite levels. Third is going to be how long you've been out of a deficit and what your nutrition has looked like the last few months. The fourth factor is going to be your level of muscle mass and what your training looks like. And the final component, the final factor, is going to be your sleep quality and sleep quantity. So the first factor we need to consider is your dieting history, when your last dieting phase ended, and if you're still dealing with metabolic adaptations. So whenever I take on a new client, I always want to know about their dieting history, as the frequency of dieting has risen over the last couple of decades. So it's very, very rare that I get a client who doesn't have an extensive dieting history. And if you come to me with the goal of losing body fat and of going into a fat loss phase, I specifically want to know how recently you were in a deficit for an extended period of time. And if you've just finished a fat loss phase and spent months in a deficit, it's likely that you still have yet to reverse some of the many diet-induced metabolic adaptations that occur as a result of being in a deficit for an extended period of time. There are many metabolic adaptations your body physiology will undergo during a period of weight loss. And if you haven't spent enough time out of a deficit and you haven't worked on specifically reversing those adaptations, it can make your next diet more difficult and the process of losing fat even more challenging, especially if you try to rush back into it again. So the three main areas that are impacted and downregulated during a deficit that you first need to reverse before you jump back into another dieting phase are your energy expenditure levels, your hunger, as well as the hormonal adaptations that you undergo during a diet. So I'm going to break down each three of those components a little bit further so you guys truly understand what I'm referring to in terms of still dealing with metabolic adaptation. So from an energy expenditure perspective, when you lower your calories in an effort to lose weight, all four components of your total daily energy expenditure decrease and downregulate. So first, as you lose weight, your basal metabolic rate decreases, which is the amount of calories you burn at rest as you're losing lean body mass, which burns calories in and of itself. So as you become a lighter and leaner individual, the amount of energy it takes to keep the lights on is now lower than it was when you were a larger and heavier individual. Now, this is a natural adaptation of becoming a lighter human being. But if you rush into fat loss and lose muscle in the process, you'll see an even a more significant reduction in your basal metabolic rate, as muscle is metabolically active tissue, which burns approximately three times the amount of calories at rest that body fat does. So when you diet, you also experience decreases in the amount of calories you burn per day and all of the other three components of your total daily energy expenditure. So you will burn less calories through the thermic effect of feeding due to eating less calories as in total, which thus requires less energy to digest, absorb, and assimilate those nutrients. You will burn less calories through exercise via exercise activity thermogenesis, as you will become more efficient with all movements to conserve calories during a deficit. And last but not least, you will burn less calories subconsciously through NEAT or non-exercise activity thermogenesis, as downregulations in NEAT account for the largest drop in total daily energy expenditure that someone experiences during weight loss. Then, when it comes to hunger levels, when you're in a deficit for an extended period of time, You experience adaptations that cause changes in your appetite. And anyone who's dieting will be able to understand this and be able to relate to this because of the drastic increase in hunger that they experience. And this is for many reasons. So when you lose body fat, your leptin levels decrease as leptin literally is produced in fat tissue. And this decrease in leptin decreases satiety. At the same time, we see that ghrelin levels increase during a deficit, which will increase your hunger. What many notice is that during a dieting phase, one of the most challenging aspects of maintaining a deficit is the increased hunger they experience. And this often persists for a period of time after the fat loss phase. So if you haven't spent a considerable amount of time at or above maintenance calories after your last dieting phase, and you're still dealing with excessive hunger, you're setting yourself up for failure by going right back into a deficit. And that's what many people overlook. They see these or they experience these adaptations, but they don't actually account for them and they don't actually address them. They just kind of like sweep it under the rug and just keep it moving. And then the last metabolic adaptation or umbrella or category under metabolic adaptation that many suffer from and many need to account for is the adaptations to their hormones. Because we often see decreases in sex hormones, both in males and females. So we'll see decreases in testosterone and estradiol. These decreases can impact your nutrient partitioning, your training, and your recovery from training, as well as your biofeedback, your energy levels, and your reproductive health. And for all you lady listeners out there, because actually the majority of our audience is actually ladies. So I want all the women out there to really listen to this.
What's up, ladies?
If you've lost your menstrual cycle in your last diet and have yet to get it back, you haven't restored your menses, a regular menstrual cycle, meaning between 21 to 35 days, please do not jump back into a deficit, as that's only going to extend the time period or the time course it takes to recover a well-functioning, healthy menstrual cycle. We also see on different aspects of hormones that being in a deficit also causes a downregulation in thyroid production, especially a lowering of T3, which reduces your metabolic rate and how many calories you burn per day. We can also see increases in cortisol, which can often, cortisol is often demonized as like a boogeyman, essentially. And there are many necessary processes that cortisol is involved in. However, during a diet, cortisol can make muscle retention much more difficult due to increasing muscle protein breakdown. So if you're someone who's just finished a long dieting phase and lost a significant amount of body fat, and body weight, it's highly likely you've incurred some of these metabolic adaptations. And if you're to rush into another diet to try to lose more fat, you're going to notice that this fat loss phase, that your next fat loss phase, so the fat loss phase you just entered, is going to be much more difficult than the last one that you just completed, as you haven't spent the necessary time to restore and recover yourself metabolically. Now, the next factor, the second factor essentially, that we need to consider are your hunger and appetite levels. If you're currently not dieting and or you just recently finished a diet and you're still dealing with a ton of hunger and food focus, you need to focus on improving this component of your biofeedback to put yourself into the best position to succeed in your next diet. Because hunger is one of the biggest bottlenecks that holds people back from completing a fat loss phase. So if you're constantly hungry and food focused and you're not in a fat loss phase currently, do not go back into another fat loss phase. Because if your hunger is sky high currently, going back into a deficit is only going to exacerbate your hunger as your leptin levels are going to continue lowering, your ghrelin levels are going to rise. And that's going to cause you to have a higher likelihood of falling off your diet due to hunger-related issues. Now on to the third physiological factor that we need to consider, which is how long have you been out of a deficit and what has your nutrition looked like the last few months? So one of the main things I want to know from new clients is, have you not dieted for a prolonged period of time or and have you been sufficiently fueling yourself for the past few months? I would recommend you spend at least a few months eating at maintenance or in a slight surplus before considering going into a deficit again to lose body fat. And this is because eating at or above maintenance puts you in the best position to build muscle and improve your body composition. And it also provides us a period of time to restore your hormones and biofeedback after your last fat loss phase. And losing body fat will feel easier after you've stayed out of a deficit for a prolonged period of time, instead of making the same mistake that so many others out there do, which is to jump from one fat loss phase or one diet to another without periodizing in a physiological and psychological break of eating more to reduce dietary fatigue. And this is especially important for those with a history of chronic dieting or yo-yo dieting, as many of these individuals have spent years jumping from diet to diet and are on this cycle of quickly losing weight only to regain it back after. So if you're someone who has a history of cyclical dieting where you feel like you're always needing to go on a diet to lose the fat you regained after your last diet, we need to first focus on maintenance habits, meaning the habits needed to maintain a healthy body composition before we look to going into a cut and dropping body fat. Because if not, you're just going to continue getting the same results you've been getting, which essentially is, for many of you, you're on this cycle, you're on this merry-go-round of fat loss and fat regain. And really what you're doing is you're losing and regaining the same 10 to 20 pounds year after year. And I also want to make sure that if I'm going to have a client or I'm going to transition a client into a fat loss phase, that they've been eating enough where we have room to pull from their current calorie budget to be able to ex effectively lose body fat. Because if you've been dieting for an extended period of time, eating a really low amount of food and dealing with a lot of hunger, we're going to be very limited in terms of the amount of strategies and cards that we have to play to be able to create an effective deficit so that you can continue losing body fat, which is why you really need to have spent enough time out of a deficit prior to entering another fat loss phase to put yourself in the best position to succeed. Now on to the fourth factor we need to consider from a physiological perspective, and that is your level of muscle mass and what your training looks like. A lot of times I'll get new clients who come to me and will show me their goal physique. And Jeff, I know when I say this, it's going to ring a bell because this is something I'm sure has happened to you. So a lot of times a client will come to me and they'll show me their goal physique. And this physique that they're showing me, it's a photo or they send me someone's IG profile. And it's always someone, their goal physique is always modeled after someone who's fairly lean, but they're also far more muscular than that client is. And it's important to realize attaining a lean muscular physique not only requires getting lean, but also it requires having muscle in the first place. Like if you don't have that foundation, you don't have that amount of muscle, that requisite amount of muscle, you're not going to attain that same physique that you're looking for. And so I find that a lot of people have the desire to get leaner, but their goal physique is one that has a ton more muscle than they actually have currently, which is where spending time in a dedicated building phase will be needed to get you to your goal. And this is why I first want to assess if a client has enough muscle to reach their goal physique, because many make the mistake of not of only focusing essentially on fat loss and on weight loss. And often that leads you to dieting for an extended period of time. But once you finish that diet, you end up being disappointed with the outcomes, even if you do hit your goal weight at the end of your fat loss phase, because you still don't have the type of physique and the look you envisioned at the start of your diet. And this is why I not only assess a client's starting body composition before deciding if they're ready for a diet, but I also like to look at their training and will optimize it for the goal of improving body composition through adding muscle. So really, it's multifactorial in terms of what we're looking for in terms of your starting body composition, because we want to make sure you're in a position to succeed. Now, the fifth and final factor we need to consider is your sleep quality and your sleep quantity. So I want to know, where's your sleep quality and your quantity at? Before thinking about entering a fat loss phase, we need to look at what your sleep quality and quantity is like, as sleep is the bedrock and the foundation for a healthy physiology. And one thing I tell this to every single client of mine, I'm sure they're sick of hearing it at this point, but I always say a healthy body is a responsive body. So if your sleep is currently shit, you need to make it a priority before entering a fat loss phase. Sleep plays, and this is something we've done at this point, I believe, three episodes on sleep, and we've done deep dives. So if anyone is interested in the physiological effects of sleep or how to optimize your sleep routine, I know that that episode's somewhere in the 60s. So this was more than a year ago that we recorded that episode, but I have done a full deep dive on how to optimize your sleep routine to improve sleep quantity and sleep quality. However, we have to realize that sleep plays so many important roles in improving our health and recovery. But one thing many don't realize is how much sleep loss and getting insufficient sleep can impact your body
Oh,
composition.
yeah.
So insufficient sleep during a calorie deficit has been found to significantly skew body composition outcomes during a deficit. For example, in a 2010 study, researchers looked at how different sleep lengths impact the fat loss and muscle maintenance or muscle retention outcomes of a fat loss phase when calories are equated both during the insufficient and the sufficient sleep conditions. So to test this out, they put their participants into a very conservative deficit where they reduced their calories by just 10%. And then they had them go through two different sleeping conditions where each were 2 weeks in length. And in one condition, they got sufficient sleep, which was over 8 hours per night. Then in the other condition, they got what was referred to as insufficient sleep, which was around 5.5 hours per night. However, in both sleep conditions, they were in the exact same 10% calorie deficit. So everything besides their sleep remained constant. Now, participants lost the same amount of weight in both conditions due to having the same calorie deficit, but the proportion of the weight loss was completely different. In the insufficient sleep condition, participants lost only 20% of their weight from fat mass, whereas they lost 80% of the weight that they lost from the loss of lean mass, which included muscle mass. So we see that sleep curtailment can really impact the amount of fat mass that you lose, as well as the amount of lean mass that you lose. And in the insufficient sleep condition, they not only experience worse body composition outcomes, but they also experience enhanced hormonal adaptations to the deficit, greater levels of hunger, and they actually impacted their metabolic flexibility, which means that they burn less fat for fuel, which shows that sleep loss can drastically decrease the amount of fat you lose and increase the amount of muscle you lose when you're in an energy deficit. And it can also skew your hunger and satiety hormones and increase hunger to a significant degree, which makes maintaining a calorie deficit even more challenging. So sleep is one of the most important aspects to maintaining muscle, maximizing fat loss efficiency, and improving recovery during a fat loss phase, which makes having a solid and effective sleep routine a must before starting your diet. So if you don't have your sleep routine dialed in currently, and you aren't getting sufficient sleep at this moment, you'll be more predisposed towards muscle loss and less fat loss by just going into a deficit. So if you're currently getting poor sleep, focus on fixing and improving that first before jumping into a deficit and trying to lose fat.
All right, I think you, the sleep one, I tell everybody the moment things stall, I'm like, well, what's your sleep in? That's
100%.
usually the biggest unlock ever.
I think so many don't realize the
They don't.
physiological and the psychological ramifications of poor sleep. And here's the thing. There's been many times where I've had a client and it's they're time poor. That's a term that I use for them, meaning that they have so many things going on in their life, responsibilities, their career. They might, so for instance, I'm going to give you a perfect example. I have a client right now who just had an additional child. So I think this is his third child. He owns a business, which he runs himself. He is both the founder and the CEO of the business, and it's been taking off. And so he has a newborn baby in the house that's only a few months old. So obviously his sleep is impacted from a quality perspective, but he also is trying to get in his workouts. He's trying to increase revenue within his business. He's trying to work like 12 to 14 hour days. He's very limited in terms of his time. And there's this last mesocycle, so this last training cycle, I actually pulled him back from 5 days of training per week to 3 days of training per week. And the reason I did that was because I actually wanted him to prioritize sleep, because there was many times where he would, and this wasn't due to my recommendation, but he would just get up and go right to the gym. And so a lot of times he was skipping hours of sleep. He was getting into bed very late at night. And so I put a cutoff. I said, listen, if you don't get 5 hours of sleep in this night, I want you to skip that workout, or I'm just going to cut back. So what we did was an auto-regulated training schedule, where initially when he first, a few months ago, what I did was an auto-regulated training schedule where he had 5 training days, but he was able to pick at least getting in 3 of those. And then in this last mesocycle that I just transitioned to, he's in a maintenance phase currently. So I have him training 3 days per week rather than those 5 days. And I also have him trying to make up for the sleep loss that he incurs during the week, during the weekend. Ideally, I would love for him to get a full night's rest every single night, but that's just not feasible nor realistic during this phase. However, I will say this. He was noticing, now he was eating at maintenance during that previous phase, and I still have him at maintenance now. So right about his maintenance intake, which is a range, but he was noticing that he was having a lot greater increases in hunger and appetite, even eating at maintenance, when he was getting insufficient sleep and getting up to go to the gym. So what I said was, let's try to rectify some of those other habits. Let's increase sleep quality and quantity on the weekends. Let's really focus on dialing in your sleep routine. I gave him some, recommendations for supplementation to try to really increase the actual amount of deep sleep he was getting, even in the compressed window that he had. And now he's dealing with far less hunger and less increases in appetite, cravings, and things of that sort. So these are factors that could really play on someone's ability to stick to their diet. And that's someone at maintenance. So imagine when someone's in a deficit where their hunger is already increased, you're only causing more harm than good by skipping out on sleep.
I agree 100%. Okay, with sleep comes some mental and psychological things, and it's probably important that we talk about that because you need to consider them prior to entering a diet in order to effectively lose body fat. If you go into thinking that, because this is an example I want to say, and then I want you to get into this, but my friend Joey, he said, hey, I want to go through a hard 12-week fat loss. Like, if I were a competitor, treat me like it. I said, you look at food as when it goes away from you as punishment. You have to reverse that thought process in order to be mentally capable of handling this. Because there'll be weeks you're dotting I's, crossing T's, and I still have to pull food, and I still have to do this, and I still got to do that. And you will look at that. If you look at that as punishment, it will be a horrible time. And most people don't even have that concept of it right going into a fat loss phase. They look at it as like this hard thing, and I'm like, that usually turns me off of working with people in that. So let's kind of get into that, man. The mental and psychological stuff that you need to set up to be able to kick ass that matter when you're trying to lose some body fat.
Absolutely. And I think this is a very important concept and something that's overlooked. So I did want to cover this on today's podcast because there are several mental and or psychological factors that we need to consider to determine if you're in the right place to go into a fat loss phase. Because a lot of people, they just jump into things and they're not really in the right place, both physically, but especially mentally. And if these factors are not in a good spot, you're setting yourself up to struggle during your next fat loss phase, which will increase how difficult it is to stay the course and will limit how successful you'll be in losing fat, but also in keeping it off. So the three main mental and psychological factors that I consider when determining if a client is ready for fat loss is their level of diet fatigue, their stress levels, and their current relationship with food. So the first factor I want to cover is on the mental side is your level of diet fatigue. So we want to make sure that you do not have a high amount of diet fatigue when looking to start a fat loss phase. So diet fatigue is the physical and mental fatigue that accumulates across across the course of an extended period of diet or time of being in a deficit. And diet fatigue can include different factors. So this could include mental burnout from feeling like you're always dieting. So that's something that's very common in those that have a yo-yo dieting history. It could include the physical, the mental wear and tear that you get from high hunger and appetite, heightened food focus, physical fatigue, such as lower energy levels, which will impact your psychology, and then lower training performance. And one of the most common situations I find with clients who have a long history of diet is that they have a ton of diet fatigue built up, which they have yet to work on rectifying or mitigating. And so many have been trying to lose fat for so many years, if not decades, and have tried many diets to achieve that goal. And often these individuals have felt like they've been dieting forever, and they still have yet to reach their goals and the physique that they're looking for. And often this is because they feel mentally restricted during the process, and they often can't maintain a deficit consistently. So they're quote unquote dieting, but they're actually not in a consistent deficit. So they mentally feel like they've been dieting, but they're not seeing the results they want because they slip up every few days or every weekend. So this results in you accumulating a ton of diet fatigue from a mental perspective, but you're not actually consistently in a deficit. So you're not actually seeing, like visually, the physical results from the work that you feel like you're putting in, which can be a mentally draining process in and of itself. And if you are someone who has a high amount of diet fatigue and experiences these symptoms, it's a sign that you haven't been out of a fat loss phase and out of a deficit for long enough. And you need to take time away from trying to diet for fat loss to dissipate this high amount of diet fatigue. So you should look to spend as much time away from dieting and being in a deficit as you were in the deficit. So say that you did a 12-week fat loss phase and you cut for 12 weeks consistently. I'd advise a minimum of 12 weeks out of a deficit to recover both physiologically and psychologically. And you want to go back to maintenance calories at the very least to recover, especially from a metabolic perspective, but also to dissipate the diet fatigue you've accumulated from your last diet so you can wipe the slate clean and start your next diet phase in a more refreshed state. The second factor we need to consider on the mental side are your stress levels. So dieting and pushing for fat loss can be a stressful process in and of itself, which is why it's important to start a diet when you have your stress levels managed and under control, and you can handle the added stresses of calorie restriction, intense training, and increased energy expenditure. And if you're dealing with a high amount of stress, like a high stress period in your life currently, you may want to hold off on entering a fat loss phase. Now, everyone deals with stress, so I'm not saying that you can't experience stress and try to lose fat. As for some, that would rule out fat loss all year long. But if you're dealing with a lot of stress, I would recommend trying some non-food related stress management strategies such as journaling, meditation, yoga, breath work, or talking to a mental health professional to see which of these methods, which of these strategies provides you the most relief so that you don't derail your fat loss progress by turning to food for comfort when you experience stress during your next diet. And so next, the last factor is going to be that we need to consider from a mental perspective is your current relationship with food. And so if you're someone who currently has a poor relationship with food and your current eating habits and behaviors are not aligned with your physique goals, you're not going to significantly improve this relationship with food or these habits by going into a deficit. So we need to analyze your eating habits and behaviors first to see if going into a fat loss phase is a good move for you. So I would, a lot of times I'll have these conversations, but I want to know, do you use food to cope with stress or emotions? Have you been overeating due to stress or emotional reasons? Are you finding yourself overeating at night due to being overwhelmed with hungry? And if so, because it's a common thing that I see, what did the rest of your day look like nutrition-wise? Did you skip a meal or did you purposely undereat to save up macros during earlier part of the day? And then you find yourself ravenously hungry and overeating at night? Are you eating meals at regular times? Do you have a consistent meal routine or are you frequently weighing it? Because before you go into a period of energy restriction, you first need to make sure your relationship with food is in a good place and that you have the necessary and foundational habits and behaviors in place to actually succeed with the goal of losing fat and keeping it off.
Okay, so I think at this point we've handled the four cornerstones that you really kind of have to put together to really think about this stuff. Let's go over how do you determine if a client is ready for a fat loss phase? So if you're just a casual listener, this would apply to you as well. If you're sitting at home and like to do this on your own, because I know a lot of people who listen might not like to hire a coach and work off of apps. So Brandon's going to lay this out for you. The biggest piece I always tell everybody, you have to nail it perfectly for it to give you the results you really want it to give you of what you're thinking. I have found. And usually, what it means is a common misconception is cheat days or cheat meals. And those tend not to really do well. So I tend to make sure clients really understand that before they begin a fat loss phase. But, Brandon, besides my little quinky dinky things I work with on my gym pop, what about you? What are some other things you like to do to help people be set up for it? Maybe training, nutrition, get an eye mask so they for sure get 8 hours of sleep. Look at all your beautiful posts of your beautiful body and just dream about being as lean as you are. Like what are things can they do?
Yeah, so I'm going to take a different approach to this question, my man, because this is more so how do you determine if you're ready for fat loss? And next week, we're actually going to cover the fundamental habits that you need to have in place to be able to put yourself in a position to succeed during fat loss. So I'm gonna
Well,
hold that one off
fuck
for
me.
next
I
week,
guess there's
but
just misinterpretation here, my friend.
it's all good, my
Back
man.
in the grind again. All right. Yes, sir.
We'll get back on schedule, my man. No worries. But so this topic piece is really going to be about how do you determine if you're ready for a fat loss phase, or more so, how do we determine as coaches how if a client is ready for a fat loss phase or if they're not? So the first thing I do when I get a new client inquiry is to conduct a needs analysis. Because although coaching is about giving the client what they want, we also have to do right by them as a professional. So I see coaching as a blend between giving my clients what they want, but also what they actually need. And oftentimes, the biggest benefit to coaching is that we help you get out of your own way and we help you do the things that are going to drive you forward in terms of progress rather than repeating the mistakes of the past. So within this needs analysis, I'm looking at a client's current nutrition, their training setup, their lifestyle and daily schedule, their habits and behaviors around eating, training, movement. I like to go over, and this is something I extensively go over because this is just the type of clientele that I deal with, is, and I work with, is their previous dieting history and what has and hasn't worked for them in the past, as well as their training age and level of advancement. And then that's more of like the X's and O's or the more written out comprehensive information. But I also do a physical needs analysis where I assess a client's current body composition and how far they are away from their current physique goal. Because I want to know what is the timeline looking like to get them to the goal that they're looking for? Is this a 4 month process? Is this a 6 month process? Is this a year process? Because a lot of times people come to me with very ambitious goals and it's like, listen, this is going to take us 12 months to get to. You don't have the proper foundation and I can get you there, but we need to make sure that you're in the right place physically, mentally, and that we put in enough time to be able to get there, but not only get there where I'm just rushing you through the process and you're going to be likely to rebound, but really I'm going to get you there and you're going to have built so many great habits that you can rely on in the long term. Now, after conducting this needs analysis, I'll determine what would be the best plan of action to start with to get this new client to their goals. However, I generally won't go right into a dieting phase with a new client unless it's someone who's an experienced dieter or a client whom I've worked with in the past. And I know that in past phases, we've built the necessary habits and behaviors for them to have a solid foundation, which will set them up for success within the fat loss phase. So instead of rushing into a fat loss phase, I found much better results by starting most clients off with a primer phase where I work on improving their habits around nutrition, movement, stress management, sleep. And then I also, in conjunction with that, I dial in their training and see how they respond to training, especially in a state of higher energy availability throughout the diet. Then I also modify their behaviors and work on the bottlenecks that have held them back from achieving their body composition and fat loss goals in the past. And throughout this primer phase, I collect data on how they respond to different nutritional and training approaches or methods that I use with them, so that I can use that data to make more informed decisions and appropriate adjustments moving forward. Once I've gotten to know that client and I have a good feel for how their body responds to different training inputs and nutrition inputs, and I've improved their training performance and their dietary habits, as well as their health markers, like things like their insulin sensitivity, their aerobic capacity, and their overall fitness level, along with their body composition, I'll then transition them into a fat loss phase if fat loss is their main goal. Now, if they have another goal, such as now, we've went through the primer phase, they've improved their body composition, and now they tell me, listen, I initially thought I wanted fat loss, but now I want muscle growth. We'll go into a muscle growth or a body recomposition phase after the primer phase is complete. So really, what I try to do during the primer phase is it's designed in a manner that's specific towards the goals that we're working towards, but it also sets them up for success regardless in the direction we go. And then the next phase will really dictate what we're working on very specifically. However, I think it's vital to not only give our clients what they want, but what they need. And many people need to learn how to spend some time at maintenance first and manage all the variables needed to improve their body composition before adding in the stress of a deficit and aiming for fat loss, as I want to set up clients for long-term success, not just quick results that are here today, yet gone tomorrow, as many don't have the skill set to maintain the results past a 12 to 16 week dieting phase when they first contact me for coaching. So I find a massive benefit to building a solid foundation first before going into a fat loss phase. And this is why this is a much different approach. It's a much more calculated and strategic approach. However, it's led to being able to help many people not only lose fat, but be able to lose fat effectively and keep it off. And it's also helped them from repeating the mistakes of the past where they've jumped into that diet. And those out there that have been in dieting phases, you know that many of you have probably jump from diet to diet, and nothing has ever stuck. You've never been able to maintain the results that you've gotten. It's like you get the results and they're here for a few days or a few weeks, and all of a sudden you're back off the rocker and you're back to regaining the weight, all the weight that you lost. And then it's like, let me find another diet. And it's really about dialing in your habits, your behaviors, and your lifestyle to set you up for success long term, where you can effectively lose fat, but then you can keep it off and maintain a lean muscular physique long term.
Great points, my man. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, be sure to share, like, ooh, rate our podcast on Spotify, and also give us a sub on YouTube. Chasing Clarity, Health and Fitness is what you type into that box. Brandon, where can everybody find you for this week's episode?
Absolutely. So if you guys need anything from me, whether that be just to contact me with questions, one-on-one coaching, or private consultations, please, the best way to reach me is through my email, which is bdecruzfitness@gmail.com. Or you guys can find me for daily content and educational information, which is at BrandonDecruz_.
If you guys are interested in following me, Jeff Unbreakable Black on Instagram, and also do another podcast, ATG Syndicate, and the After Dark series is about men's mental health. So you guys could give me a follow there. Brandon, as always, badass, dude. If you need anything, let me know, but have yourself a good week. Peace.
You too, my man. Peace.